Archbishop of Dublin. Archbishop Martin is Vice President of the Irish Bishops' Conference and Chairman of the Bishops' Council on Europe, and of course a trustee of TROCRA. Archbishop Martin, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. I think I spent almost half my life outside Ireland, both in the Vatican but also in Switzerland, where I spent a few years before being rescued and brought back home. Just 2 weeks ago, the population of Switzerland voted in a referendum by a narrow margin to place a cap on overall immigration into Switzerland, including the immigration of citizens from the countries of the European Union, with which Switzerland has binding agreements on the freedom of movement of each other's citizens. The vote went against the indications given by the Swiss government and the opinion of Swiss business and industry interests, who felt that the country needs workers, especially highly qualified workers, in order for its modern economy to flourish in today's global context. Migration is an intrinsic part of the DNA of a globalised economy and a globalised world. I'll come back to that on a number of occasions. Migration is an intrinsic part of the DNA of a globalised economy and a globalised world. People have a right to emigrate, although they do not have a recognised right to immigrate into any specific country. People who find that there's no hope for them within their own country will inevitably try to move to a country which offers promise, and very often to a country which may need them as part of the labour force. But for many, that promise may end up in exploitation. Exploitation both regarding the manner in which they get to a third country and regarding the welcome they receive. In the long run, however, a global economy based on freedom of movement of goods and services will unavoidably require also a level of freedom of movement of people. The question is, how should such movement be healthily managed rather than left to the invisible hand of economic need or an equally invisible hand or hidden hand of the exploitation of people? It won't have escaped anyone that Pope Francis, after his election, decided to make his first journey outside Rome to the Italian island of Lampedusa, which is in many ways a symbol of how the aspirations of those who seek a better chance for themselves and for their children has been exploited. Hundreds have died on their journey across the Mediterranean, many of them women and children. People have been forced to spend their entire savings and those of their families to exploitative ship owners, if ship is really the appropriate term. Great credit is due to the population of Lampedusa, who've done much to and the church there to provide an initial welcome to immigrants, and whose own tourist-based economy has genuinely suffered. Migration, again, as I say, is an intrinsic part of the DNA of a globalised economy and a globalised world. Yet, negative reaction to the Swiss vote on capping immigration was at best mooted, and in many cases the results were taken up with discreet approval. Leaders in France and Britain and other European countries, especially those where there are to be local elections in the near future, showed even a veiled satisfaction as they look at what the Swiss had done. Britain wishes to renegotiate part of the European treaties, focusing also on the question of immigration. Yet freedom of movement is a fundamental and untouchable part of that package of treaties, of freedom of movement, of goods and services, of people and information, which are at the centre of the very idea of the European Union. And yet within the European Union, voices are being raised in a mooted way. Immigration is therefore an election issue in this year of European elections. People are fearful about jobs. People are fearful about the loss of national identity. And those who would wish to limit immigration speak, they don't speak in terms of opening borders to immigrants. They talk of floodgates and massive movement, of the unemployable, welfare seekers, of the culturally unintegratable, and indeed of criminals and terrorists. And these discussions constitute a welcome ammunition for those who espouse anti-European sentiment in some EU countries. We're fortunate in Ireland that we've never had a strong anti-European or anti-immigrant political current. But this doesn't mean that anti-immigration thought could never, or indeed does not ever, arise. We should be carrying on a constant, ongoing examination of conscience to look clearly at our attitude to immigration and to immigrants. We have to be alert to the first signs of racism and xenophobia. We have to be aware of the areas where there's subtle discrimination against immigrants. We have to enhance democratic and transparent judicial control of processes regarding immigrants and asylum seeking. And we have to identify and speak out at the signs of policies which place immigrants and their children at disadvantage in our societies. Irish immigration laws are complex, and the culture of Irish immigration policy is often ambivalent. Ireland needs direct foreign direct investment, and as part of that need, there's an openness to welcoming highly qualified immigrants in areas such as information technology, research, and healthcare. But Ireland is less friendly to the less skilled. We have in part an ambivalent green card immigration culture, which can recreate discrimination. Our processes for the recognition of asylum are too long and too restrictive. Trafficking of vulnerable people into Ireland is a significant problem, and it's vital that the underlying organisations behind trafficking be tackled and be successfully prosecuted. Ireland should be in the forefront in international cooperation for the prevention of trafficking. Ireland is a country with a long tradition of emigration, and we must be grateful for the manner in which other countries, particularly at the most difficult times in our history, welcomed Irish immigrants and gave them an opportunity. Ireland, with such a history and indeed a live memory of the welcome and protection that was offered by other countries, should have a clear policy on welcoming refugees from particularly dramatic situations such as Syria. Our asylum policy in such emergencies should not just be calculatingly politically correct, but flahula. And those of you who are not Irish understood, you can ask them what flahula means. And it isn't necessarily the mark of our immigration policy. Irish immigration policy is inevitably linked with that of the United Kingdom. And at times one has the feeling that Ireland goes out of its way to avoid giving any impression that we are wetter than Britain on immigration. This is not a totally unrealistic position. We don't want the freedom of movement between Britain and Ireland to be exploited by elements of organised crime or terrorism. Ireland and Britain have different policies or hopes concerning the Schengen Agreement. But Ireland could not enter the Schengen Agreement on its own without reconstructing the border between North and South, something that is politically no-go thought. Britain and Ireland are linked, but Ireland should not be just following along trends in Britain. Both today and especially tomorrow, if anti-immigration policies become more vocal in Britain, Ireland should be seen to take a lead in matters of constructive managed immigration, which is for the good of both countries. And I welcome this conference because it's a forum in which part of that examination of conscience of which I spoke can take place, and where we can calmly and rationally look at all dimensions of the theme of migration, placing, however, at its centre the fact that immigrants are men and women and families with their rights and with their dignities. For the Catholic Church, immigration must be guided by that Caritas Christi, which is in the title of the document of the Pontifical Council for Migration and Tourism, whose anniversary we celebrate today. Reflecting the charity of Jesus Christ means that we build a global culture marked by a genuine and caring encounter with the other. The churches have a special role in welcoming and integrating immigrants. Immigrants are people with their own culture and with their own religious traditions. People have a right to worship in their own traditions. Here in Dublin, we have masses on most Sundays in a variety of languages. And we have a very lively presence now of Christian churches which were not with us before, particularly Orthodox Christians. We learn from each other and we enrich one another. Here in Dublin, the Roman Catholic Church has celebrated an annual festival of peoples for many years. And the Church of Ireland, the Anglican Church, has a very strong outreach to immigrants of various backgrounds. And relations with the Islamic leaders and communities are warm and open.